2024 was the year of trying new plants. My collection exploded. My curiosity was piqued as I dove in and grew more than 40 different species of plants I had never grown before. I had grown the genera before, but not the species. I really wanted to tap into that curiosity and dive headfirst into the murky waters of all the plants I was scared to grow, like ferns and anthuriums. And I learned so much, plant friends. I learned so much in the last 12 months, and I am so excited to bundle all the lessons that I learned through my trials and many failures over the last 12 months, bundle them up and give you some great advice and maybe turn you on to some plants that you might want to be adding to your collection. Buckle up. We're going over the highs, the lows, the in-betweens. Get ready. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. Happy 2025. 2024 is in the rearview mirror. I'm so excited to be here. If you don't know me already, my name is Maria, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy while doing so. And if you know this podcast and you're a returning guest, Happy New Year. And boy, I'm so excited to dive deep and like really get real transparent about my 2024 plant collection. Because there were highs and there were lows. But really for me, 2024 was about falling back in love with houseplants. At this point, I've been caring for houseplants for more than 7 years. And our relationship with plants can be like the seasons. We go into seasons of growth and excitement, and then also into seasons of like stalling out and kind of being bored. And I'd been growing the same type of plants for like 6 years. I felt like I really had mastered plant care. I knew how to keep plants alive. Obviously, I've done like a million episodes of this podcast. And so diving into these new species of plants was really also about stimulating my curiosity, stimulating my intellect, stimulating my need to continue learning, because the beautiful thing about houseplants is it is a lifelong hobby that you can continue learning about no matter how many plants you have, no matter what courses you take, no matter what type of expert you are. Like, you can continue learning, which is so fun. So for me, a lot of 2024 was finding the joy that 2017 Maria found when she had plants, right? Because when I was in 2017, I was still a plant killer. I had just started this podcast. I was figuring out how to care for plants successfully. And I remember every new leaf unfurling was like the most joyful moment in my house. It was so exciting to see, oh, is this going to be the fenestrated leaf? Is this going to be this? Is this going to be this? And I really wanted to reconnect with that side of myself again. And I'm so proud to say that I did. And I really want to share what I've learned with you. So I don't have an official number, but it's definitely over 40 houseplants that I tried over the last 12 months. As you know, I did a bunch of episodes last year that dove deep into the different genera and different plant care techniques. So I got a lot of new houseplants, and some survived, some thrived, and some died, plant friends. Not all are still with me at this point. And I want to tell you why, right? Because I also think it's important for me as the host of this podcast to tell you, like, no matter how good you get, you can still kill plants. You can still kill plants. So we're going to go through everything I've learned. And the structure of this podcast, I'm going to give you my five key, like, high level takeaways from growing all of these new plants in 2024. So like, what did I learn in 2024 from adding these plants to my collection on a high level? And then we're getting into the nitty gritty. I've combed through all the photos in my phone of all my new plants, and I have curated a list going from my top number one most favorite plant to my least favorite plants, and also the plants that I've killed. And I'm going to go through all of the different plants that I added to my collection and tell you what I liked about them, what I didn't like about them, and if I would buy them again. So this is kind of my shopping list from 2024. But if you are interested in stimulating your curiosity and stimulating your intellect, if this episode gets you kind of revved up, please know that if you take my plant parent personality test online, I will email you a list of plants, including different plant species that are perfectly curated to your plant parent personality. If you don't know, I have five different personality archetypes They're all different types of plant parents. And I believe that there isn't the right starter plant for everyone. There's the right starter plant for different personalities. So I've created these lists, these curated lists for the different personality types. And there are common plants, rare plants, high light, medium light, low light. Like, this list will set you up for success. So if you want to maybe try something new, you can take my plant parent personality test that's in the show notes and get your list of plants that you can go shopping with in 2025. If you feel inspired to grow your collection, and if you feel inspired to not grow your collection, I fully support that too. In 2025, I will probably be sticking with the plants that I have. I'm going to talk about that, what my plans for 2025 and my houseplant collection will be. I'll talk about that at the end of the episode. But anyway, I just wanted to offer that to you. It's a free resource that I so lovingly put together for you and encourage you to use if you want. So without further ado, drum roll, let's dive into my high level thoughts and takeaways from adding 40 different new species of plants to my collection. For context too, I've been collecting plants for 8 years. I have had as little as 10 plants, as much as I had 150 houseplants in 500 square feet when I lived in New York. So my plant collection has ebbed and flowed. It's looked different over time. And one of my biggest things that I know in my heart of hearts, particularly as we were just talking about the plant parent personality test, I began this journey as a mindful plant parent in 2017. I was someone who wanted to interact with my plants every single day, be watering, be engaging, be kind of, I don't want to say helicopter plant parenting, but like really be on my plant care game. And in 2024, I officially have transitioned into being a low maintenance plant parent, which is funny because it's the opposite. The low maintenance plant parent is the opposite of the mindful plant parent in terms of the right plants for them. Because the low maintenance plant parent is someone who travels a lot, who doesn't want to be having to like water their plants and worrying about their plants. So the low maintenance plant parent is the opposite of the mindful plant parent, right? Because they have reasons in their life that makes it so that they can't engage with their plants on a daily basis. So they need usually low light, but drought tolerant plants. Mindful plant parents tend to like moisture loving plants because they want to be interacting with them all the time. And once again, you can take the plant parent personality test. But my high level takeaway of this is that I'm officially a low maintenance plant parent. I have a lot of plants in my collection now, and it needs to kind of be a survival of the fittest moment. I am not finding joy growing plants under glass right now, babying plants, putting plants in terrariums, like that kind of stuff. And I've talked about this on the podcast before because there were seasons of my life that I loved growing plants under glass. I loved having humidifiers and caring about the humidity. Like, I loved all of those things for my plants, and it was so much fun and it brought me joy. But the key to having a sustainable relationship with your plants is allowing your passion for plants to change just like your plants will. You're going to grow and your plants will grow over the seasons, over the years. And what I have realized is that what is bringing me joy right now is plants that thrive with little to no care in my green wattle, right? Like, I'm interacting with my plants probably once a week in terms of having to water them and care for them. And then I just get to enjoy them the rest of the week. And that's a low maintenance plant parent. So my plant collection has shifted a little bit because of that. And I also feel like that needs to be a little bit of a disclaimer because that I am looking through the lens of a low maintenance plant parent as I go through my list of most favorite plants to least favorite plants, and also the plants that I killed. A lot of the plants I killed this year are plants that would thrive with a mindful plant parent, and they might absolutely love them, right? So just know that this list is totally personal. It's totally just like my unique experience of growing plants in 2024. And this list might have looked different in 2023. This list will look different in 2025. That is the beauty of plants. We are always blooming and growing and evolving, right? So my first high-level thought is I am officially in the camp of low-maintenance plant parents. And also because that, there aren't plants that I would necessarily buy again right now in my low-maintenance plant parent vibe, but I might rebuy them, you know, in the future when I want a more interactive experience with my plants in terms of like watering and care. High-level takeaway two is that my love affair with ficus has only begun. Like, I did an episode on ficus in early 2023. I have fallen in love with ficus in such a deep way. I don't know why people don't talk about ficus a lot. Like, yes, they talk about ficus lyrata. They talk about the fiddleleaf fig, but the ficus genera is so incredible. It is filled with so many amazing plants. The ficus elastica is probably like one of my favorite plants of all time. I don't understand why people don't talk about rubber plants, ficus elastica, more. I feel like a lot of ficus are very underrated, and I am just beginning my love affair with ficus and learning more and more about all of the different ficus options to me. And I'm really excited to continue to learn more about ficus in 2025. So that's my second takeaway, is that I love ficus. I think ficus are slept on. Here's my third takeaway on the other side of that, guys. I really tried with Calathea in 2024. I really gave it the old college try. And I don't want to say I failed, because I really tried, but I have just realized Calathea are not for me. Calathea are for so many people. There are so many people for so many different reasons that have beautiful Calathea in their homes. I'm just not one of them at this moment in life. And I have decided that that does not mean I'm a bad plant parent. That just means that Calathea should be reserved for other people and not me. I feel great about it. They're just such a sensitive plant. They're so sensitive to underwatering. And I travel a lot for work. I'm a busy gal. And I hate when I have a green wall full of drought-tolerant plants that are thriving, and then I see the one Calathea that's wilted. Like, it hurts my feelings, which is so stupid. That doesn't even make sense that a Calathea can hurt your feelings. But they're just not bringing me joy. Honestly, at the end of the day, Calathea are not bringing me joy. And so they're not going to be in my collection in 2025. I would not be rebuying Calathea. I would love for you guys to share with me like what you think your most drought-tolerant, hardy Calathea are. We will get into this very long relationship with this Calathea orbifolia that's at the bottom of my list. So stay tuned. I will walk you through the slow and painful death of this Calathea orbifolia. I was so committed to making work. But yeah, just for me, it's just a no. It's just a no for now. For now. Who knows in the future? Cut to 2 years from now on this podcast, I have a whole episode about how much I love Calatheas. But I gave it the old college try. I gave it 12 months, and I will no longer be engaging with Calathea as a plant parent for now. And I welcome you to prove me wrong. I welcome you to comment on today's post on Instagram and tell me why you love them, because I celebrate that. I totally celebrate that. Okay, so along those lines, a genus that I was surprised by, a genus that I really thought I was going to struggle with, that I have ended up not struggling with at all and absolutely loving, they're actually two genera, is Anthuriums and Alocasia. I had unsuccessfully had Anthuriums and Alocasia in other years, but I have found that I love Anthuriums and Alocasia as long as you pick the right species, which we're going to talk about. I'm going to tell you about my top favorite species of Alocasia and Anthurium and my least favorite in our list. But it just goes to show you again, like, plants can surprise you. Don't believe everything you see on the internet and on Instagram. I really thought that Alocasia were going to be super hard to take care of, but I have multiple Alocasia in my green wall and in my collection that are doing great. There are multiple species that I've totally fallen in love with, and I feel the same about Anthurium. And I really thought that I was going to struggle. I thought that I'd be saying about Anthurium what I'm saying about Calathea. So that also speaks to, like, it's fun to try stuff. So say you take your plant parent personality test and you don't see a certain plant on your shopping list, I still encourage you to try growing it if that would bring you joy, if that would spark your curiosity, right? Because you never know how plants are going to thrive. And I just think that's so interesting. The other thing that I really love about my Anthuriums and Alocasia, and you should go look at my Instagram to see my green wall, they're in my green wall. They make the most amazing green wall plants because they literally look like little heads. They're like my little cheerleaders popping out, you know, with their big leaves and their thin stems. I feel like they're like, go, Maria, go, you're amazing, all day while, you know, they're behind me. My green wall is behind my desk. And I just love the personality that they have amidst a bunch of tropical foliage plants. So I've really loved them too. Not as much as ficus, though. Ficus is my favorite, but the other two are my second favorites. Now, interestingly enough, overall, my high level takeaway, the plant that I'm going to repurchase the most is not my top plant on the list that we're going to go through. It's actually not even the top five plants on the list that I'm going to go through, but I feel like it doesn't get better than the philodendron genus. There are over 400 varieties of philodendron that you can bring home. Many of them are drought tolerant. Some of them are low light tolerant, but they thrive in that like medium light. They have gorgeous leaves. They give you that jungle vibe look, but they're like accessible, easy plants. And they come in such a wide variety. And I am just constantly blown away over and over and over again by my philodendron in my collection that I love so much. So my fanciest plant, my like top number, my showiest plant isn't a philodendron on this list. But what I will say is, as I continue purchasing plants as I move through life, particularly as a low maintenance plant parent, I'm going to be looking at philodendron. And also, I didn't grow many pothos this year, but I am feeling the tingles. I am feeling drawn to pothos again, because once again, they're an often similar to philodendron. Like, they're a golden oldie plant because they're a golden oldie plant. Like, they have been successful as houseplants in the 70s and the 80s and the 60s and the 90s. Like, they're your grandma's houseplant because they worked when your grandma was caring for plants and they work now. Pothos is another one similar to philodendron, where I feel like they get overlooked by all the other fancy plants. But now there are so many interesting varieties on the market. I'm kind of curious to dabble in pothos again, particularly now that I'm in Florida. I have a vision for my lanai. We'll talk about that in at the end of the episode when I talk about 2025. Have you ever noticed how the sound of meditation bowls at the spa or in a yoga class can instantly soothe your soul? Well, for the last 2 years, my home has felt like a meditation studio thanks to my Wind River wind chimes that I've hung on either side of my house. If you are looking to add serenity to your life in 2025 or maybe beat the winter blues, adding a Wind River wind chime might be the perfect, most joyful option for you. Every time I hear my Wind River wind chimes sing in the wind, it is an invitation for me to pause, take a deep breath, and find a moment of presence in the midst of a hectic workday. When I moved recently from New York to Florida, I literally did not feel at home until I hung my wind chimes at my new house. I was getting anxious at my new house because I hadn't hung my chimes yet and it didn't feel like home until they were there. They are not the clangy kind of grating wind chimes that you might hear in your neighbor's yard or at a garden center. Wind River wind chimes are the highest quality I've seen on the market. They're carefully tuned, beautifully designed. They come in a variety of colors, shapes, sizes, and sounds. And they make incredibly thoughtful gifts because you can actually engrave the wind sail with a special date or message. And you get a free engraving because you were a listener of Growing Joy with Plants. So beat the winter blues, explore the collection of wind chimes at windriverchimes.com and use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout for a free engraving to add that special unique touch to your wind chime. You will not regret it. That's windriverchimes.com. Use code GROWINGJOY at checkout. Plant friends, I want to talk to you about a new book hitting the market, the American Horticultural Society Essential Guide to Organic Vegetable Gardening. In their first new book in over two decades, they have not released a book for two decades, the American Horticultural Society offers indispensable insight into growing a modern edible garden at home, regardless of where your home is, whether you're in the desert Southwest, the Midwestern plains, or the shores of New England. Starting with a unique look at history of vegetable gardening in North America, from indigenous cultures to victory gardeners to today's biodiversity nurturing growers, AHS Essential Guide to Organic Vegetable Gardening then digs into everything you need to know to cultivate a successful and productive vegetable garden without synthetic pesticides or fertilizers. You'll learn about how to build a resilient garden that can face weather extremes. You'll learn how to do an at-home soil assessment. You'll learn the best designs for a garden and how to choose what plants to put in your garden based on your taste and where you live. So if you want to have your best garden yet, you should grab the American Horticultural Society Essential Guide to Organic Vegetable Gardening. It has the science-based information that you need to overcome today's gardening challenges and cultivate success. Once again, that's the American Horticultural Society Essential Guide to Organic Vegetable Gardening, available online wherever books are sold or at your local bookshop. Go support your local bookshop and grab American Horticultural Society Essential Guide to Organic Vegetable Gardening. So anyway, those are my high-level thoughts. Some other high-level thoughts is, like, no matter how good you get at plant care, you're still going to kill plants. Like, it's just that simple. You're still going to kill plants no matter how good of a plant parent you are. And I actually think it's an important indicator of success because it means that you're still trying stuff. So I could have kept the plants that I had grown for the last 7 years successfully. I would consider myself an expert at growing them. And I could have not had any plant deaths this year, right? If I just kept to my Monstera and my snake plants and all the other plants that I've been growing. But I tried new stuff. I sparked my curiosity. And because of that, I had some wins and I had some fails. But you learn from the fails. You learn from the plant fails as much as you learn from, you know, your braggadocious plant wins. And so, yeah, I'm proud of the fact that I killed plants this year. I'm reframing it and I'm giving myself a lot of grace. But I feel like I'm not even giving myself grace because it's just like it's all been a beautiful experiment. And I've learned so much. And most importantly, I feel like I fell in love with houseplants again. So those are my high-level takeaways. I feel like another high-level takeaway I have is your home is just so much less, but your home has less light than you think it does. I've said that before, but But so funny, we moved to Florida this year in 2024. And I thought, oh, I'm moving to Florida. I'm going to have so much light. My plants are going to be so happy. No, I still have windows. You still have covers over your windows. I feel like I've never lived in a home that has had all of this unobstructed light in every single room. Like, light is going to be an issue for every houseplant parent. And I see you in that struggle, right? I see you in the really low light rooms or the no light rooms. Like, I'm finding that I'm putting as many grow lights up in my Floridian house as we're up in my New York house. And also humidity wise, like, yes, it's more humid in Florida, 100%. But because we have to run AC all the time, like, the AC messes with the humidity as much as the heat did in New York. So no matter where you live, like, houseplant growers tend to be the same because we're all working with forced air, limited light availability. Like, we're all working within the confines of homes, which are very different than our ancestors who grew out in nature. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox for that. But without further ado, let's go into my plant list. I've got around 40 plants that I want to share with you. So we're going to start with my top most favorite plant that I grew in 2024. I'll give you my top 10. We'll talk about the middle, like the middle of the heat. We'll go through my least favorite plants that are still alive. And then we will go through all the plants I killed. I'm reading my own receipts. I'm exposing myself to you all, and I'm letting you know what I was successful with and what I wasn't, because it's fun. So let's begin. Okay. So my number one top most favorite houseplant that I grew this year was the Anthurium brownii. Oh my gosh, I love this plant. It is such a stunner. I feel like for so many different personalities, it's such an amazing choice for the mindful plant parent. It's really beautiful. It gives that jungle look. You have enormous leaves that you can really enjoy cleaning. For the low maintenance plant parent, it's extremely drought tolerant. For the design-based plant parent, it is such a stunner. It is such a stunner. It is like the perfect focal plant if you only want one house plant for like a big iconic moment. The Anthurium brownii is so great. Mine is in my office right now. I'm looking at it. It's about 3 feet tall, but it's 3 feet tall and the leaves are like 1.5 feet long. It's so beautiful. For the curious collector, it's an unusual Anthurium. It's not like a crazy rare Anthurium, but it's also more affordable because of that. And then for the urban farmer, it flowers and you can grow it for Anthurium flowers. So I really feel like it is one of the most well-suited plants for everyone. I don't know if I would call it a beginner plant, but I really have just fallen in love with this plant. I think that the leaves are these huge heart-shaped leaves are so beautiful, so stunning. The leaves are thick. So, you know, it is a bit more drought tolerant. Like, it's given me no fuss since I've had it and it's like doubled in size. So like, what's not to love about that? So my number one plant, the Anthurium brownii. Now, my second plant is the Ficus Belize. So that's the rubber plant that looks pink. So it's a Ficus elastica Belize. It's a pink rubber plant. And I have learned so much on these rubber plants. If you know, you know, I went a little bit viral for talking about how I trim my rubber plants so that they don't get super long and lean over. But my Ficus Belize is actually in my green wall and it's growing so vigorously. If you put rubber plants under light, they will grow so vigorously for you. The leaves are so pink. The sheets that come out, like the pink green combo, is so beautiful. You know, pink is my favorite color. I love growing pink plants. I love it more than my pink princess, which I also very much enjoy. So the Ficus Belize is a quick second. Okay, next, and this isn't going to come as a surprise, the Alocasia cuprea. So I have had a love affair with the Alocasia cuprea for a very long time. I finally got my hands on it this year. I had never had it before. It had been on my wish list for so long. And I have to say, this plant has been so much hardier than I thought it was going to be. Because it is a harder to find rare Alocasia, I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to grow this under glass. I'm going to have to put a humidifier next to it. No, like, it's been pretty hardy. It hasn't exploded in growth, and I think that is where the humidity would probably help. However, it's maintained 3 to 4 to 5 leaves. I've been growing it under a grow light, and I just will never get over like the purple sheen of the leaves. I just think it's such an interesting, beautiful plant. And for someone who has a lot of houseplants, at this point, I have like, I don't know, 150 houseplants. I don't know how many houseplants I have, but I have a bunch. I really look for these different foliage plants that stick out amidst a sea of green because I have so many houseplants, right? I have the sea of green. So how do I find houseplants that have different colors or textures or leaf shapes that allow them to pop out and provide this like beautiful texture? So Alocasia cuprea is number 3. And I cannot believe in my top 5, I have two alocasia in here, which is so ridiculous because I would never think that I was going to say that. But my fourth favorite plant is the Alocasia longiloba. It's another alocasia that is so surprisingly hardy. The leaves are enormous. They grow bigger and bigger with every new leaf that pops out. And I have the longiloba and the cupraea in my green wall, and they are just so happy. And I just love the long green leaves. And this plant has really beautiful purple underside, but it's just beautiful. I don't know. I just love it. So those are my third and fourth. Then my fifth and sixth are going to be two other rubber plants, the teneke and the abajan. The abajan has like super dark green leaves. The teneke is that cream variegated. But like I said, I'm having a love affair with ficus and I'm really enjoying growing them. I'm really enjoying pruning them, rooting them, planting them up. I want to grow these plants into their, I got them as like 6-inch pots, but I want to grow these ficus plants into really big trees that you see on Instagram everywhere. So I am very slowly but surely, I know this is going to take many years, but I am slowly but surely propagating them, cutting off the tops, rooting them, and then planting them in the same pot. So I'm filling the pot out with multiple rubber plants. And every time you prune a rubber plant, it then grows a new stalk as well. So it's going to be a slow process, but I'm really enjoying it. Be careful with rubber plants, though, if you propagate them. You got to wear gloves. Okay, number seven is the philodendron Atabapoense. So once again, philodendron is my top genera, but I waited until the seventh to give it away. But of all the philodendron I've grown, the Atabapoense is my absolute favorite. It has these long leaves that are so jungle vibey, long heart-shaped leaves that like topple out of a pot. It's so beautiful, but the leaves can stand upright and they'll get larger and larger. But I really just love the aesthetic of this plant and also the hardiness of this plant. Speaking of hardiness, the next plant on my list is the Alocasia stingray. This was a plant when I got it, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to kill this plant. So it continues to grow. It's a very prolific grower. I have it planted up with two other alocasias. I've been like doing houseplant arrangements in larger pots, and I have a couple of different alocasias. It looks so beautiful. I have a little pothos spilling out the pot. So that's been a real surprise. I love Alocasia stingray. Shout out. Another surprise that I probably a plant I would have never brought home, but it was sent to me, is the Anthurium plaumanii. Any bird's nest anthuriums. For the design-based plant parents, I think you should look into this because it's a bird's nest anthurium that gets really big. Anthurium plaumanii, there are a couple of varieties, but the leaves are really thick. The plant is hardier. It's drought tolerant. It's like a really robust plant. The leaves get super big. It would take up a lot of space. So if you're looking for a statement plant, I would highly recommend that. And once again, I can't even believe this is on my top list of plants that I'm telling you about. But the bird's nest fern. Oh my gosh. I never thought, I've killed so many ferns in my history. I have tried with ferns. I've grown them under glass. I've tried with ferns and I have failed. And in 2024, I thrived with ferns. My ferns did really well. And it's because I chose the right ferns for my personality. I chose the most hardy varieties of ferns. And for me, those were the bird's nest ferns. I think number one, their growing habit and also like their leaves kind of cover the soil, so it makes it harder for them to dry out. I think they're just a hardier plant. There's less like riffraff to kind of shrivel up and fall, you know, like a button fern or all of those other ferns that have like the really small fronds that then like fall off all over your floor. Didn't have any of that riffraff. So I love the bird's nest fern, particularly the hurricane variety. I cannot believe I'm saying that. And along that line, in terms of hardiness, I don't know if it's like my favorite plant, but it's another plant that surprised me. So I put it high up on this list, was the staghorn fern. I actually grew it in soil. I grew it in potting media. I didn't mount it because I knew that I would kill it if I mounted it because I would forget to take the mount down and water it. That's the issue that I have with mounted plants. Super hardy, like easy fern, looks different, has that nice white covering, like another beautiful visual interest. So yeah, I loved that fern as well. Next up is a couple of different philodendrons. Once again, they just have beautiful leaves, beautiful coloring on their leaves. The philodendron Nangaritense, all this plant Latin today. And then also the philodendron Hastatum, the silver sword philodendron. A lot of people know that. But these are two other philodendrons that aren't just like your classic green philodendron, but like look really beautiful, upright philodendrons, really beautiful. Now, my 15th favorite plant is a collection of plants, but I'm putting them as one because I started growing them like late in the year. So like verdict's still out, but I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing so far. And that's carnivorous plants. So if you listened to my episode with carnivorous plant expert in December, or if you watched the YouTube video, maybe you should go watch the YouTube video. I got really inspired from the carnivorous plant interview I did on the podcast, and I ended up ordering a bunch of carnivorous plants, planting them up, and kind of talking through how I'm going to care for them on my YouTube channel. They're in my green wall. They're doing so well. They're so beautiful. My butterworts are blooming. Like, my butterworts just put off so many blooms. I can't get over the pitcher plants, like the colors of the pitcher plants. Verdict's still out on the Venus flytraps, but I've really enjoyed being a carnivorous plant mom. So they're definitely high up here, but I feel like I'll have more to report back in the coming year because I've only been growing them for like a couple of months. All right, moving right along. The next one is also another group of plants, and that's variegated philodendron. So the orange smooth, the white wizard, the pink princess, the splash dash, which is kind of a pink princess, white wizard baby. I really love the variegated philodendrons because you get the easy care of the philodendron, but then you also get the variegation of like a more elevated high maintenance plant. Know that variegated versions of normal plants need more light because there's less chlorophyll, but I loved all of those variegated philodendrons, and I think I could definitely see myself bringing home more. The one thing I will say, though, is the white wizard is the slowest grower of them all. My pink princess grows, my splash dash grows, but the white wizard, or at least my white wizard, grows much slower than the rest of the plants. Next up is the Ficus bengalensis. Now, this did not score higher because I have found it's a rather slow grower. I'm a little disappointed with how little it grew under a really good grow light compared to other ficus, but it's a really beautiful plant. I think for people who want trees, for people who want ficus, but they don't necessarily want the fiddly fig, the bengalensis is a great idea. The leaves are really beautiful. It's an upright plant, but I will say it's a slow grower, but it's a really beautiful addition to a plant collection. Then I also have to give a shout out to the Phlebotium aurum, or the rabbit's foot fern. I will say I haven't been as successful with the rabbit's foot fern as I have with the bird's nest fern, but I will say that I love this plant. I love how many of the rabbit's foot fern leaves, fronds, like have almost a bluish tint to them. I love the weird fuzzy feet. I love the fuzzy feet that crawl all over the pot and just like the movement of the rabbit's foot fern that I have. So I've really enjoyed that. Another plant that I've never grown before, which might shock you guys because it is a fairly common plant, is the Monstera adansonii. I've never had an adansonii. I have many Monsteras in my collection, but I had never grown the adansonii. Finally got my hands on some, and I'm really enjoying them. I think they're really beautiful. You know, I love pothos as well, but it's fun to have a fenestrated trailing plant, and that's where the adansonii comes in. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Now, a lot of the Hoya heads are going to be mad at me because I have Hoya at the bottom of my list. And I'm not a Hoya hater. I love Hoyas. I think they're beautiful. I have a lot of really happy Hoyas in my collection. I have not really had many blooms yet, but I really enjoy and grow Hoya for the beautiful foliage. And because of that, the Hoya latifolia, the Hoya quinquernervia, I'm growing so beautifully on a trellis. The foliage is so beautiful. I don't need that plant to flower. Like, it has the most beautiful foliage. And also the Hoya rangsan, there's like a rain variegation that looks like water droplets all over it. Like, Hoya variegation is so beautiful. And the other thing I love about Hoya is that they're so drought tolerant, right? You can forget about them for a while and you give them a good water and their leaves perk up and it's the best feeling ever. But I don't know. It just wasn't a Hoya year for me. Not to say that 2025 isn't going to be a Hoya year for me. Maybe I get really into Hoya in 2025. The other things beat the Hoya. That's really what it comes down to. It's not like I didn't like the Hoya. I do love the Hoya. I love all the Hoya in my collection. I have many of them, but I think that Hoya rangsan, that variegated one, is probably my favorite of the group. All right, let's go now into the bottom. So this is now like my intentional bottom of the barrel, like plants that I would not rebuy. Oh, also in terms of rebuying Hoya, I think I would only rebuy Hoya in like really big baskets. Like, I want some trailing Hoya that really are established, will bloom easier. I have a lot of Hoya cuttings and a lot of smaller Hoya plants. And I think if I was to buy a plant again, if I was to buy a Hoya, I would splurge on a larger, fully grown, established basket of Hoya instead of a smaller pot. Okay, so even though ficus is the top of my list and I absolutely love ficus, ficus is also at the bottom of my list for several reasons. And here's why. Ficus benjamina, it's just not doing for me. I mean, I have multiple and I have a couple that are doing really well. I don't know. I'm going to give Ficus benjamina another year, but I was just unimpressed this year. And once again, this now comes, I grew so many amazing plants that like, it's now just a matter of like, I like others more than these, but I find that sometimes the leaves like shrivel and fall off a little bit easier. And also slow growers, like all of my Ficus benjamina were very slow growers this year. And what I'm finding is I'm really enjoying seeing growth. So I'm really enjoying vigorous growers, which is why they ended up getting kicked to the bottom. The Ficus cyathus stipula, along the lines, the Ficus cyathus stipula, that was a new variety I tried growing, slow grower. It was a fine plant. I just wouldn't buy it again. Like, it's a good basic plant that I like, and it's still in my collection and I like it, but I'm just like not obsessed with it the way I'm obsessed with some of these other plants that I've been talking about. Now, the Hoya Callistophylla Hoya, otherwise known as Shadow Falls, it's a really beautiful, freaky looking Hoya, but it did not do well with me. Like, it went really downhill. It was like a much finickier Hoya than any other Hoya I've ever cared for. I cared for it just like my other Hoya. It didn't do well. So maybe it was this particular plant, but I will say I have a bad taste in my mouth from that Hoya Callistophylla. Once again, you are welcome to argue with me in the comments of the Instagram posts and we can get into it because maybe I did something wrong. But I have many Hoyas and for some reason that one just like did not take to my collection. And then in general, thin-leafed anthuriums. So I love anthuriums that have thicker leaves because to me, it seems like they're way hardier. They're not as sensitive to humidity. My thinner-leafed anthuriums ended up getting a lot of crispiness on the edges. They were a little more winy when it came to watering. So if you have IKEA, this is where you see the amazing curious collector plant parent thrive. Like anthuriums are so for you. If you have the grow house, the IKEA grow house, like if you have humidity, like your anthuriums are going to look incredible. And for that, I applaud you. But for me, as someone who I lived half of the year in a 19% humidity home in the woods in New York, they just weren't a match for me. And then also, this might shock people. Dare I say, maybe I'll get canceled for this, but I wasn't vibing with the Monstera Thai constellation. I was so excited when I got my hands on one. I love the plant. I love the variegation. I love the leaf. I love the leaf pattern. Like, I love it. I love the Monstera Thai constellation. I was so excited to get it. And then it just like didn't, I don't know, it didn't grow very fast. It didn't do much for me in my plant collection. I kind of enjoyed the Monstera, the normal non-variegated Monstera more because it put off more growth and it looked really happy, where the Thai constellation just, it's so variegated. It's a slower grower. And I just felt like it was way finickier. So I love the plant. I want to make the plant work. Once again, maybe it was the plant and it wasn't me, or maybe it is me. And like, maybe I didn't baby it enough, but it was a no for me. It was a no for me. I don't know if I would maybe try it again because I feel like I could do a better job, but I just was surprised. It was such a hot plant that everybody was talking about. And I was surprised at how disappointed I was with it once I brought it home. Okay. Without further ado, let's go into the plants that did not make it, the plants that died. I can't tell you how desperately I wanted to be a Calathea orbifolia plant mom. I wanted to have a Calathea orbifolia in my collection so bad. I have loved this plant since the first time I saw it in 2017. I think the leaves are so beautiful. The variegation is so beautiful. I think it's like a very feminine plant. Like, I just love this plant. I was so excited to get it. And I have struggled with this plant all year. I mean, it's dead now, but like I gave it my all and it is a very sensitive plant. Now, I do want to give a shout out to my friend Camille from Plant Blurred. She has a Calathea orbifolia. I do not understand, in her living room that's thriving with no humidifier. Like, she said that she like doesn't even bother with it. Like, and it just thrives. And maybe this is just a vibe thing and like this plant is just not meant to be in my collection, but I grew that thing under glass. I put moss on the top. I ran a humidifier. I did everything in my toolkit and wheelhouse to make this thing happy. And it just didn't cut it. It didn't make it. And for that, I'm sorry, Calathea orbifolia. I really loved you. I really wanted it to work. However, it didn't. I hold space for some time in the future when I maybe get another Calathea orbifolia and make it work, but another one bites the dust with that one. And just in general. So my second one is the Calathea macquiana. I also tried growing. I also just felt like the juice was not worth the squeeze. There were so many plants that did so well. There are so many plants that do so well under my care. Why am I pulling my hair out over plants that don't do well in my care? Like, why am I doing that? I shouldn't be doing that. So anyway, bye Calathea. Love you. Kind of. I will say Synanth also, I killed a Synanth or two this year. Better than Calathea, hardier than Calathea, but still just not doing it for me. I would not buy another one, which is a shame because they're so beautiful. They're so gorgeous. And maybe once again in the future, I will have another one in my life. But I also feel like with those Synanths, like getting a really robust plant, like getting a larger pot of the plant with a really established root system, more leaves is better than getting a smaller plant where like if one or two of those leaves drop, like you got problems. You know what I mean? I hope that makes sense. Fittonia. I tried with Fittonia. They're just too sensitive for me. They're beautiful plants. I love the variegation, the whites, the pinks, the reds, like gorgeous. Love them. They do great in terrariums. I built a bunch of Fritonia will probably be my favorite terrarium plant. I love having them in terrariums. I also will say I put them in a plant arrangement for the holidays and they're thriving. So I also feel like if you plant Fritonia with other plants, maybe it gets that kind of transpiration, additional hit of humidity from the plants that it's planted with. I do have one Fritonia that's still doing really well in that arrangement, but they're just for me a little too finicky. However, Fritonia would be the perfect plant for a mindful plant parent who is going to be checking in on it, you know, every day. Like, oh my God, it would be so amazing. But for me, it's a no for now. Love you though. Particularly all the pink variegations. I mean, I love all the pink Fritonias. Okay. The alocasia, I did a good time with two different alocasias. And I think because, you know, plants on the spectrum, like there are some plants in a genera that are going to be hardier than others. And I think in general, when it comes to the anthurium and the alocasia, it's the hardier ones that do better for me. But lost the ninja, the reginula, and then also the bajinda. So they're thinner leaves. Actually, no, I still have the bajinda. It has two leaves. I'm really trying to bring it back. but I have just found that they've not been as hardy as some of the other alocasias like the cuprea and the longiloba and the white vein and the stingray that like I've loved so much. So with that, that's my 2024 list. So I hope that I've, you know, stimulated your curiosity and maybe there's something on this list that you might want to go play with. And whether it's on this list or whether it's on your own list, I just really want to encourage you to stay curious and like bring home a plant that you've never tried before. I grew so much as a plant parent this year because I was growing plants that I had never grown before. And that's saying a lot as someone who's had over 200 plants for 8 years. And it was so fun for my mind. It brought me so much joy. I regret nothing. Maybe I regret how hard I tried with that Calathea, but so that's 2024. So when we think about, and also once again, I just want to remind you, you can take that plant parent personality test and get a curated list of plants that might spark your curiosity, right? Because I tried to do my best to have each plant list have a mixture of like really easy to find plants and then rarer plants and then plants for high, medium, and low light. So I hope it helps. I hope you take that test. Okay, so what's in store for my 2025 houseplant collection? In 2024, I added more than 40 plants to my houseplant collection and I learned so much. Will I be doing that again this year? No. I think that it was a really fun year. That was a lot of plants to add. I will definitely continue experimenting, particularly now I live in Florida. I live in the houseplant capital of the country. I'm going to be testing and touring houseplant growers and all that kind of stuff. I'm so excited. But I also feel like I can just like take a breath and I'm really happy with the collection that I have right now. And I really just want to enjoy them. You know, as we moved to Florida, I had to find different homes for all of them. I installed my green wall that I've really been enjoying. I'm also just like really curious to continue seeing how my houseplants do in Florida. Because like I mentioned, I do kind of have a lower light home, but I have this whole lanai and I have this whole jungle plan for my lanai. So our lanai is the last frontier of our house, but I really want to do this cool rattan urban jungle vibe, big palms, like amidst couches. I want it to be like really cozy and jungly. So that's also on my to-do list for 2025 is get my lanai together and then also grow food because I have a much longer gardening season in Florida. So I'm very excited to just grow my own food. It's December as I record this episode. I'm looking out my window to my herb garden and my tomatoes and cucumbers that are growing. Someone who's only lived in New York, that is a wild thing to say and experience. And I'm really excited to take advantage of that as we live here. But overall, I'm just excited to kind of sit with what I've got. And I'm excited. I think in 2024, I went looking for the curiosity and I went looking for the spark and I found it. And in 2025, I think I'm kind of going to let the spark come to me. Like I'm going to just enjoy what I've got. I'm going to continue cultivating my collection and see like what flows. Like maybe there's a new genera I want to try or maybe there isn't. And maybe I'm just like happy with what I've got. I don't know. We'll see what 2025 brings, plant friends. I'm curious to hear what your goals are for 2025. Please comment on the Instagram where we ask you that. And my door is always open, maria@growingjoywithmaria.com. If you guys have requests for podcast episodes or anything as we go into 2025, I don't think people realize how much content I create is literally from people who go on my website and submit a form, like an inquiry, like the carnivorous plant episode. They're always, you know, you guys are why I do this. So I'm always excited to stay tethered to you and to hear from you. So if you want to shoot me an email, you're always welcome to. I hope this was fun. It was fun to kind of review this for myself and put this list together and share and kind of read my receipts, and also celebrate all the plants that have come into my collection that I absolutely have fallen in love with. And as per usual, I love you. I love you so much. I'm so honored to be part of your journey, your planty journey, your life journey, your joy journey. And until next week, until we engage again in another piece of content, whether it's a podcast episode or a YouTube video or an Instagram post, I hope that you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.